Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and you're listening to the EMS and AR Library Q&A call. So we've got two questions today. In fact, it's the day after EMS, November the 11th, 2013. So welcome to the call. Let's begin with the first question. I oftentimes hear people refer to the Bible when talking about infidelity. Say that in Scripture, the Bible says that divorce is acceptable and legitimate when infidelity has occurred. Just out of curiosity, what is your knowledge of this? If God is making an allowance for divorce by these means, does he really want a marriage restored when infidelity has occurred? Thought I would ask, since it comes up so often. Thanks. They're referring to a passage where Jesus, in fact, I can look that up for you specifically, where Jesus says, they're asking about no-fault divorce. Basically, is it okay to divorce a woman for any and every reason? And he responds, Moses allowed divorce for in the beginning it wasn't so, something like that. And he said, you know, that basically the grounds for divorce, the only grounds for divorce would be adultery or infidelity. But the real problem in my mind still comes down to that initial thought of hardness of heart. And, you know, why I think people struggle so hard. I mean, to me, it certainly doesn't say that you don't restore marriages after that. Whether or not a marriage is restored has a lot to do with the heart and whether that hardness of heart is there or not. In fact, the primary story of reconciliation told in the Bible is one where people have been unfaithful, and yet out of love, God restores that relationship. One of the reasons I personally believe that it's an important issue in terms of why people need to consider restoring, without the right to leave a marriage as a result of the infidelity, there's also no ability to really choose to still be in a marriage after infidelity. If you feel like you have no choice, you're still not necessarily really choosing to love that other person and to be with them. By allowing the opportunity to exit the relationship, he also allowed the opportunity for someone to extend mercy and grace, to give a gift to someone who didn't deserve it, to in turn reconcile that relationship. In many ways, that's the whole model that infidelity was the only cause didn't dictate that someone has to necessarily be divorced as a result of infidelity. In fact, it would be the opposite. God's story in the whole gospel is reconciliation after unfaithfulness. So hopefully that helps a little bit. A book that you might find interesting is Robert Einstone Brewer's book called Divorce and Remarriage in the Church. It's one that I found really interesting, and I think it would answer any questions you might have in that particular area. And it's a good read. It's easy, but it would help you understand, I think, far better than many people. Because, I mean, the guy does a great job of looking at the current legal system in Judaism at the point when Jesus was saying what he was saying, and parts of why those were issues back in those times. So here's the next question. Accountability questions from husband and wife. Hi, Rick. We're hoping you can give us some guidance on accountability between husband, unfaithful spouse, and wife, betrayed spouse. As the unfaithful spouse who has struggled with sexual addiction, I've completed the three-circle exercise with the off limits sexual behavior and the secret keeping in the inner circle. Of course, I fall. If I fall in any of those areas, I will confess to my accountability partners and to my wife. The middle circle has some potential gateway behaviors, things that might lead me into failing sexually if I do them over time, as they lower my boundaries. Our questions are these. I will tell my accountability partner if I violate a middle circle behavior. Do I tell my wife if I violated middle circle behaviors? Will that help us or hurt us? The blog question, the big question. If I am tempted to violate inner circle behaviors, I normally would reach out to accountability partners and ask for help. Do I tell my wife that I was tempted to violate even when I didn't actually do it? Will that help us or hurt us? We're both looking for some guidance, not just me squirming out of accountability. Thanks. You know, my personal opinion is couples need to have the ability to be couples and it's very difficult for a wife to be an accountability partner. Temptation, in my opinion, in no way defines us. People are going to be tempted. I mean, if temptation defines us, then the person with the most temptation will be the vilest person, and that person would be Jesus himself. And so in the long run, I would say there's nothing wrong with being tempted. In fact, I believe we'll be tempted until the end of life. There are three theological terms that I think are interesting if you look at it theologically. One of them is justification. And that's, you know, because of the sacrifice made by Jesus, I'm literally set free from the consequences of my sins, the ways I act that are contrary to love. The second word is sanctification. You know, by the power of that new life in Christ, I'm set free from the power of sin. I no longer have to give in to my addiction. You know, I have a way out. But it's not until this third word, glorification, that I'm set free from the presence of sin, that old nature, that addict self. The addict self will be with me all the days of my life. I believe that it doesn't necessarily go away. And I always say, you know, what good would it do God anyway if he took it away? What makes me close to God is the fact that I know I have to continue walking in that place of love and concern for others and not become so self-consumed that I literally, start becoming selfish and betraying my own core self, my own values, my own beliefs, my own spirituality. So in some ways, it's those temptations that keep me near. So back to accountability. I think it's imperative and important when you're tempted to talk to your accountability partner. I know that my accountability group, we definitely share at the level of temptation with each other, not where we fail. That's kind of silly, but I've just learned if I'm not afraid of it, if I just sit there and say, isn't it weird that I get tempted by that stuff and don't get attached to it and don't feel ashamed of it and you know, call my accountability guys and say, man, I just had this thought to look this up and isn't that weird, or I just had this thought come into my head, that's kind of strange. But by doing that, I don't assume that I can handle it. What I'm really doing is just trying to be weak and be careful, because once I, you know, talk to my friends about it and we start laughing about it, then it's kind of fun, and it's just absurd, and that really helps me. Oftentimes, though, those same things, if I shared them with Stephanie, while she understands and she can be okay, they're very frightening for her, and those are difficult conversations. And it doesn't mean, I mean, it doesn't help her, and it doesn't necessarily help me. Now, if I am seriously thinking about, you know, I'm just really trapped, I will talk to her. And if I begin to, certainly if I violate, if I've got a pattern starting on violating middle circle behaviors, I will talk to her about it. But the bottom line behaviors are the ones I primarily share with her, and she's good with that. I mean, as long as she knows that I'm talking with accountability partners, for her at least, it's nice that, you know, she knows that she's safe because I've got other people really working with me, and I'm doing what I need to do to protect her. My thing for Stephanie is I understand what I'm capable of, but I'm committed not allowing myself to be in positions where things could happen. And one of the ways I accomplish that is by continually working program and staying in that place of reform. So hopefully that'll give you a little guidance on that, and I hope the two of you do well as you deal with this. Hopefully that's something your wife can deal with. I just find all too often I don't want, you know, typically for the spouse, for their concern to be their mate's recovery, because if she becomes your responsibility, you're not going to take responsibility. If she has to be your responsibility to keep you motivated, there's something seriously wrong anyway. Probably one of the things that she has to work on is her own recovery, and, you know, what can she do to keep her peace and lean into recovery and find healing from what you've done. If she really needs to know, and one thing I will say, I've given Stephanie permission to ask at some point if she feels uneasy. So that may be something you do with your wife, and if she asks, tell her. But I wouldn't necessarily, let me say this. Try to both agree on what would be good, and I think that will be helpful for you. So that's all the questions today. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and I look forward to talking to you guys next Monday. Healing.